This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
How about them Cowboys?
It will address our shortcomings.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Yeah, he may want to cancel that trade. I don't think one player from what I've seen tonight is going to make a difference.
Earlier on the show, Ravens running back Derrick Henry. Coming up, North Texas quarterback Drew Mestemaker. Chargers safety Derwin James. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. We already chatted with Derrick Henry. Derwin James is coming up. We are in hour number two of this program. 2 hours left in this program and 3 hours until the trade deadline in the National Football League closes the door on all trades in the 2025 season. And we have seen quite a bit of activity since we've come on the air an hour ago. North Texas quarterback Drew Mestemaker is going to be joining us in the middle of this hour. His story is unbelievable. We're going to take a pause from watching the transaction wire in the NFL by telling you his remarkable story. Don't miss that. That's in 20 minutes time. It's an overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. We assume we're going to fit that in unless there's more blockbuster trades to talk about. There's been a wide receiver shakeup that involves the AFC West, one leaving, one coming in. We'll talk about that in a moment, certainly since it's of interest to Raiders fans who are out there listening to us in Las Vegas, Nevada, on Raiders Nation Radio. We say hello to them. But if you're a fan of this program, and I hope you are, and I hope you've been around a while, you remember prior to the 2022 draft at this table, I was pounding it quite a bit. New York Jets having a top pick in the draft. It's top five pick. And I was saying over and over and over again, Sauce Gardner. I want him. I want this 6'3", 190-pound special playmaker that helped Cincinnati make, you know, the college football playoff. Like, I need that guy. He's exactly the guy that coach at the time, Robert Saleh, could use. And sure enough, it happened. And it was magical because Garrett Wilson was drafted later on in that first round, and both of them won rookies of the year. Defensively for Sauce, offensively for Garrett Wilson. And sure enough, this offseason, with the Jets, unfortunately, having burned it all down to the ground on the field and then in the front office and in the coaching room, started over again, bringing in Aaron Glenn. One of the only other corners the Jets have drafted in the first round in the last 30-something years. And handing things off to him. And I thought to myself, well, Sauce Gardner's perfect for this guy. And sure enough, the new general manager, Darren Mooji, rhymes with bougie, he signs them both to long-term deals in July of this past year. Sauce put his John Hancock on a contract, a four-year, $160 million extension. I believe that number is correct. And off we go. $120 million, pardon me. I just gave him $40 million more. Well, maybe, his new team can. Because I'll tell you this. Didn't think it then in July when he signs long-term. And also didn't think it a few weeks ago. When the New York Jets started 0 forever, as we know, they just won their first game against the Bengals by pulling it out of the jaws of defeat. That prior to me seeing them in London and watching them fall to 0-3 and 0-4 and watching them just look dreadful on a Monday night in Miami, for instance. Dallas came in and just pounded them before they went to London to play Denver. I just said, listen, Aaron Glenn, hopefully, isn't going anywhere, okay? And he's bringing in his personal beliefs as a player and a coach that he learned at various spots. Sean Payton in New Orleans and Dan Campbell in Detroit. Two terrific head coaches, one for a long time, one in recent days. And he's not going anywhere if Woody Johnson doesn't tinker with him. And he just needs to decide, and players need to decide, who wants to play for this guy? Who wants to be in New Jersey? Having no earthly idea that Sauce Gardner could be one of those guys that Aaron Glenn just looks at and says, yeah, let's take calls on him. Or let's shop him. Or calls come in for him, and it's just like, we can't turn this down. No idea. Kind of got an inkling, I'll say it publicly, when we wanted to talk to Sauce in our pre-broadcast meetings. Got the sense from the Jets, Sauce is not available for you to talk to.
Oh, interesting.
Got the sense, like, not exactly the guy that
we want out there talking about what
he's feeling about in the locker room. And yada, yada, yada.
He gone.
Today, the Jets trade him in the most blockbuster move around today. This is in the clubhouse, and it'll be kind of wild if it gets knocked out of the clubhouse between now and 4 Eastern. He's an Indianapolis Colt. He posted, see you later, to the folks in New Jersey and New York. It's been real. Is that what he said? Pretty much?
Yeah.
Okay. And if you're the Jets, and this is what you can get in return, you send Sauce Gardner to Indianapolis, Indiana. Two first-round picks, and the Colts are like, A.D. Mitchell,
take him.
Nice having you here. You know, we got Pittman, we got Pierce, we got Warren, we got Downs, and we got no time for you flipping the ball before the goal line in Los Angeles. Send him to the Jets, who, as you know, need receivers to go along with Garrett Wilson, who's apparently coming back.
Who might
He's
also
not going
be traded.
Anywhere. Nah, there's no that one. Now that one would surprise me, but two first rounders for Sauce Gardner.
I like it. Good deal.
I gotta tell you, I never thought I would say this because I pounded the table for him, and I loved watching him play. And I'm not going to denigrate him by saying that the Pro Bowler and All Pro hasn't been consistently showing up over the last couple of years. It's been a whole host of Jets and issues from the franchise top all the way down that has resonated amongst the fire of the dumpster. So it's not just Sauce. But something's going on. There's a tip of an iceberg. As I keep saying, how many times do I keep saying this? I'm sorry I'm repeating, but it's the truth. It keeps coming up.
Might be new listeners.
And
so.
Underneath, what? The harbor? Underneath that water, something's up. Something's up under the Hudson River. And New York, it's been real. He's gone. And he just went from 1-7 to 7-2. He's now hopping a flight to Germany, I bet.
Right.
And that's the next game. His first game as a Colt will be his second international game of the year. For two different teams. I'm wondering if that's going to be a record. Somebody should look that up. You play in two different countries for two different teams in the same season.
That's crazy.
And great move by the Colts. Obviously. This is an aggressive move by Chris Ballard.
Yeah.
And kudos to the front office and the ownership for saying, go ahead and do it. That's an aggressive maneuver for a terrific young player who's now under contractual control, as you know, for some time. Fit it underneath the cap, certainly when you're not paying your quarterback $50 gajillion. I mean, Daniel Jones is a bargain, and Anthony Richardson's still on his first contract. If you're the Colts, absolutely you make this move. And if you're the Jets, you are burning it down to the ground and 100% Aaron Glenn knows how talented this kid is, but whatever's going on behind the scenes, he has taken stock, and Sauce wasn't one of the guys that he wants to have in the boat with him moving forward. Darren Mooji, nice job. Two ones, and Adonai Mitchell will just tell him, listen, catch the football, run your routes, and just know where the goal line is. That's all we ask of you, and you'll be better than most of the people we've had at the position here over the last few years. I'm not kidding. He's young and talented.
He is.
But a knucklehead move that Shane Steichen was just not going to countenance anymore. Yeah. No more knucklehead moves anymore, the Colts. By the way, Jonathan Taylor did that last year. He's still on the team. He's not going anywhere either.
Jets now join the Browns, Rams, and Cowboys with two first-round picks in next year's draft.
Great. And certainly if you're looking for a quarterback, you can now move around and do what you wish. Or kick him down the line for another quarterback. If Justin Fields can, what's the owner thinking? Complete a pass. Yeah, that's right. Right, that's down
right. Here. That's right. And to answer your question, Rich, apparently no NFL player has played for two different teams in two different countries. There have been players who've played in the same country, London, or same city, for the two different teams.
No, I know that. Vikings this year, all the Vikings are the first players to play in two different countries in the same season because they went from Ireland to the UK. I'm just two different teams.
Yeah.
You know, you're playing in London, and now you're going to be playing in Germany for two different teams in the same season. Sauce Gardner's passport is getting some work, and now he's got a chance to make the playoffs for the first time and win a playoff game for the Colts. Atlanta's going to be first up. Hey, Drake London, here comes Sauce in Germany. Hey, London in Germany, because Darren must be the Mooji. Made a trade. I don't know where that came from. I'm sorry. And then there's a bye week. And then, hey, Sauce, you're an Arrowhead.
Whoa.
And Sauce, that's Nico Collins. Sauce, that's Brian Thomas, or now Jacoby Myers, which we'll get to. Hey, Sauce, that's Jackson Smith and Jigba, or Raheed Shaheed, who we'll get to now.
Horton.
I mean, this is a big time move by the Colts, getting aggressive in the way that I think the Steelers should get aggressive for Jalen Waddle. I'm telling you. Colts are just like, screw it. It's been a while since Peyton Manning took us someplace around here. We're 7-2. Our quarterback is playing way better than maybe we even expected. We are collectively playing way better than we even expected. Let's go. If you're a Colt fan, you got to love the aggressive move. And if you're a Jet fan, you are lamenting the loss of yet another guy that you fell in love with pre-draft and then you fell in love with post-draft and has, for whatever reason, been unable to win and erase the five decades of crap and change the course of the franchise. Once again, the Jets draft somebody everybody falls in love with, and they then have to leave. But the cushion are two ones. That is significant. Hey, and listen.
Nice.
Remember they traded Jamal Adams for a couple ones?
Yep.
But that's a safety. This is a corner. Those are two different positions. And the Jamal Adams trade worked out so well that the Jets got multiple first-round draft choices in which they could draft Garrett Wilson and then use their own on a guy who they've now flipped a few years later to get two number ones again. Let's try it again. And again, Jets fans are going to have to renew their faith again that these are the coach and the general manager that can do it. You know, thought it would be Saleh and Douglas, but now it's got to be Glenn and Mooji.
Mooji.
Let's see.
Mooji.
Of course, you just got to get the quarterback right. And then this rondelay of having players that you draft, they're supremely talented. They work out. You sign them. The fans fall in love with them. And then it all falls to crap and we'll start again. At some point, you'd have to think that cycle gets broken. You have to. All right. Let's take a break. There are two other trades involving wide receivers that we'll talk about after we get this story. The college football story. One of the college football stories of the year. Outside of the Ohio State beating up on everybody. And then coaches getting bounced like they're hockey, like they're in the NHL. Drew Mestemaker of North Texas. We heard about this story, and I'm like, we gotta find this out ourselves. What an incredible journey that this young man is on. That story next. The trades involving the Raiders and the Seahawks right after that. Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday, and Derwin James coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
This story first came to our attention a couple weeks ago. Obviously, it's been a story all year long since he showed up at the quarterback position for North Texas in his bowl game this past year in the Serve Pro First Responder Bowl against Texas State, and he balled out. And now North Texas is 8-1 this year. The quarterback of North Texas, Drew Mestemaker, kind enough to join us right here on the program.
Sir.
How are you, Drew? Good to see you, sir.
Good to see y'all, too.
I mean, listen, I could ask you a whole bunch of questions about your story, but I'd love to walk our audience through it. So you're from Austin, Texas, correct, sir? That is correct?
Yes, I am.
All right. And what high school did you go to there, Drew?
Vandegrift High School.
Vandegrift High School. Okay. And you first started a game at quarterback at that high school when? True.
My freshman B team.
So what grade were you in when you started for your freshman B team?
I was ninth grade.
Ninth grade. Okay. So, and then the next time you started at quarterback was when, Drew?
Against Texas State in the bowl game.
There you go. See, we've set the table. So you went from freshman B team at your high school, Vandegrift High School, right? In Austin.
Yep.
To starting for your North Texas Mean Green against Texas State in the bowl game on January 3rd of this year.
Yeah.
Okay. What happened in between, Drew? Walk me through what happened in between.
Well, my sophomore year, I was on JV. I split time with another quarterback. And then my junior year, I was the backup to – a kid who's now playing catcher at Baylor. And
is that Braden Buchanan? Braden Buchanan, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, Braden Buchanan.
Okay.
And then I thought senior year was going to be my year to be the starting quarterback. And then in the summer, Deuce Adams, who is now at Louisville,
he's transferred one of the smaller players in the country.
And so... you know, he ended up being the starter, and I ended up playing corner and safety for the rest of the year.
Okay. Well, I think you're being mixed up with another Zoom from your end. I don't know if there's anybody there at North Texas can help with that. Drew Mestemaker here on the Rich Eisen Show. So so you were back up to one player who is a catcher now at Baylor, and then you're back up to somebody who's now the starter at Louisville, right? What were you doing in that time, Drew?
I mean, I was always training. I was you know, ready to be put in and get my opportunity, and you know, it just never came. And I was ready whenever that opportunity would happen, and you know, it never happened at the high school level, but I didn't let that, you know, end my dream of being a quarterback. So I'd say the opportunity of being here is better than, you know, getting in high school. So
I understand that, but you were playing other positions though, right? You weren't just standing there with a clipboard, correct?
No, I was playing safety and corner, and I played special teams. I was a punter, so I kind of just did everything I could to get on the field.
Wow. While hoping that you would get a shot at quarterback that never came for as a starter in your high school, what made you walk on at North Texas then? Walk me from that to that moment.
Well, I was planning on going and playing JUCO, junior college out in California. And I was pretty dead set on that. And then, you know, I was just kind of like training on my own, and I got an Instagram DM to go to this quarterback trainer who was going to be at Lake Travis. So I was just throwing on my own at that time. So I figured I might as well go see what it's all about. And I went with him for about a week, and then probably the third time I went to train with him, he got me in contact with Jeff Christensen, who trains Patrick Mahomes, Baker Mayfield, all those guys. And so he got me set up with Coach Morris because of that connection. And Coach Morris and Coach Brophy, the quarterback coach here, called me and said, you know, we don't have a spot for you right now on the team, but if someone quits after spring ball, they were like, we'll have a walk-on spot for you. So that's kind of how I ended up here.
Well, and you're referring to Coach Morris, your head coach, Eric Morris, who knows a thing or two about quarterbacks as the former head coach at Incarnate Word, where he brought Cam Ward on and then went to Washington State as an offensive coordinator, where there was a kid named Mateer. So he knows quarterbacks, to say the least, and he gives you a spot to walk on to North Texas. So now walk me through last year, Drew Mestemaker, where you were just walking on, and then what happened when you walk on there?
So I showed up the summer of last year, probably as QB6 on the depth chart. And I knew I'd, you know, had to prove myself because they had seen nothing. I had no film. I had to prove it to myself also at that point that I belonged here. And, you know, so I just took it one day at a time and grinded every day. And, you know, throughout the summer, we do our little summer, you know, OTA workouts where it's like we kind of do a little football, but it's more just working out. So throughout the summer, I didn't really move much, and then fall camp came around, and I was still going with the young guys. So I was like getting the fours and fives reps out there, and then probably about halfway through, I'd been doing pretty good. So they moved me up, and they'd sprinkle me in with some twos reps, and just see how that went. And then towards the end, I really had a pretty good fall camp, and towards the end, I was splitting twos reps with the other guy that they had recruited in my class. And so we were technically like co-backups until probably about halfway through the year, until I was fully the backup to Chandler.
To Chandler Morris, who went to Virginia in the portal just before your bowl game, the ServPro First Responder Bowl versus Texas State. Walk me through the moment Coach Morris told you you were starting that game, Drew Mestemaker.
Well, you know, we kind of didn't really know if Chandler was going to stay. We didn't know how that all was going to turn out. And so we had like a workout, and I went down into the locker room, and my phone was blowing up, and all my friends were texting me, and I was like, what's going on? What is this all about? And I saw Coach Morris's text, and he said, come up and talk to me in my office. So I went up, and it was him and our quarterback coach. They said, you're going to be starting the bowl game for us. And, you know, that was just surreal to hear that and to, you know, just to be in that moment. And then that same day, he also put me on scholarship. So that's the day I'll always remember.
I bet. Were you still 18 at the time, or were you 19 as you are now?
I was still 18.
18 years old. You got called into the office, and you were told, hey, your last start was freshman B as a ninth grader, but you're starting the ServPro First Responder Bowl against Texas State. And all you did, I'll say it so you don't have to crow, 448 total yards, 393 yards in the air, two touchdowns, and you also had a 70-yard touchdown run down 30-21 to make it 30-28 in the late stages of that game. And then what did you do right after that run, Drew Mestemaker? Come on now. What did you do right after? Share with everybody. Go ahead.
Yeah, I visited the trash can on the sideline real quick.
You were looking for what was in the, you left something in the trash can, correct? Lunch?
I lost.
Was it lunch? Was it breakfast?
Was it in the trash can?
You can't make it up. You cannot make it up. But then again, you know, what was that like for you to perform in that game? Even though you did not win, I understand you did not win, but you clearly showed you had it in that game.
Yeah. I think back to it and I honestly don't remember a lot of it. Like it was kind of just like living on a high and just kind of like going with the flow. I mean, after that run, I like just blacked out. Don't even remember what I was doing until I had to, you know, visit the trash can. But just to, you know, go through that and kind of have that experience and be able to show out in that opportunity. It something I'll always remember.
And you still had to win the job this summer, which you did. The team is now 8-1, by the way, guys. You look at your stat lines, and I understand, again, it's a team effort. 8-1 is what you're most proud of, and I understand that, okay? And as well you should. You had, against Charlotte, a 608-yard passing game. Drew, did you wake up, you know, dangerous that day like Baker Mayfield? What was that day like for you?
Well, I don't know if I woke up dangerous. I think as a whole team, we did not wake up dangerous that game. We kind of came out pretty slow. And, but I think just having the guys that'll go out there and make plays, you know, I got to give credit where credit's due. You know, I threw a 3-yard pass and one of my receivers took it 70. So, you know, having guys that'll go out there and make plays and, you know, just, you know, you're always on the same page as them. And it makes it easier to, you know, I guess, have a game like that.
And plus you're going through the armed forces, man. You took down Army in overtime in game 4 this year, and you just beat Navy, Drew.
Yes, sir.
Do you have any service members in your family at all?
I mean, one of my grandpas served, but
okay,
they're still Mean Green fans.
I bet. Well, you're serving it up on the armed forces. That is for sure. So, to what do you owe your abilities and resilience and waiting and the ability to make the most of an opportunity like you're clearly doing right now, Drew Mestemaker?
You know, obviously I'd say my mom has, you know, been by my side the entire time. You know, she's known how badly I've wanted to play and be on the field, but she's still been with me no matter how the journey looked. But also, you know, I've had some really good mentors and guys who have, you know, been through it, played at the college level, played in the CFL. His name's Dakota Prukop. He's kind of been by my side the whole time and, you know, always talked me through the ups and downs and just, you know, waiting for my moment because he's known. And he's had confidence in me too that I could, you know, make the most of my opportunity. So I'm thankful for those two people as long as, you know, everyone who's supported me along the way.
And again, if you don't mind, again, you're obviously a humble 19-year-old making the most of an opportunity. But if you don't mind throwing your humility away for just a moment, who have you heard from? Drop a name. Who maybe from, you know, your coaches, Rolodex, North Texas, anybody from your throwing coaches, Rolodex, who has reached out to you or you've reached out to them as a mentor or anything like that to get you to the level that you're at right now and improving, Drew?
I mean, Jeff Christensen has probably been the biggest, you know, change since I've been here. I feel like I've, you know, grown a lot as a quarterback and just he's kind of connected me with a bunch of people I met. You know, Cam Ward coming through here just because he loves Coach Morris and, mm-hmm. you know, meeting him is crazy to, you know, you're watching him on TV, and then he's in here the next day. So it's crazy to see that. And you know, I've trained with Patrick Mahomes. I've watched, you know, the whole Chiefs team throw, and just to see all that, it's crazy.
And what did Mahomes? Did you pick his brain at any point in time?
No, I didn't get to.
You just left him alone?
Yeah, I just watched him work, and I feel like that's kind of what's gotten me to where I am. Just learning and taking things from, you know, watching people work and how they operate, and just kind of implementing it into my own.
And what is your ultimate goal?
To be an NFL quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Man,
speak it.
Yeah, speak it. You're honestly, to go from freshman B to a bowl game to being a starter for a team that's currently on the outside, just on the outside, in another receiving vote of a top 25 of a college football rankings at the outset of November. What a monstrous achievement you've already got. And I wish you the luck moving forward. And it's so great to meet you. I mean, what is your message to others out there who might be in the sound of our voice right now, wondering if they're going to get a shot? What would be your message to those kids at the prep level, collegiate level, or anywhere, Drew Mestemaker?
I would say you can't be the first one to give up on yourself. You know, you got to have confidence in yourself. You can't, you know, if you don't believe in yourself, no one else will. And so I'd say believe in yourself and believe that when you get that opportunity, you'll make the most of it.
Sir, what a pleasure to meet you. You are you're awesome to watch play. And we had to have you on. We had to have you on and pick your brain and see what your story is. And thanks for sharing it. And we will be keeping our eye on you moving forward. So look for more of our calls.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Same to you. Drew Mestemaker,
awesome.
North Texas Mean Green quarterback, on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't give up on yourself. Our phrase around here is, if not us, who? And if not now, when? That's what
the best thing about us, though, is it's about us.
that's what our little engine that is still going.
Still cooking.
We
baby.
Say all the time. I mean, honestly, you watch others go off, as he said, to be a catcher at Baylor and a quarterback at Virginia from your high school, where you start freshman B, and then you just walk on in North Texas, and one day you're called down and say, by the way, you not only have a scholarship, you got to start. And, you know, take a look at his game film. He's terrific. And that 70-yard run, he goes right to the trash can. It's just like, okay, we have all been there. We have all done that. And the reason why I bring it up is it's a human moment. And this whole story is about everybody in any walk of life. I don't think I'm overstating it here. We all have doubts. We all have doubts about our ability. And then obviously a lot of our opportunities are in the hands of others and their largesse and their ability to see in you what you think you have, but maybe have doubts if it's still in there. And again, Coach Morris, he went from Incarnate Word to Washington State as an OC to now the head coach at North Texas. And he clearly knows some quarterbacks. If he's like, let's get Cam Ward in here and let's get Johnny Mateer in here, or Mateer is there and let's build him up. Look at where he is now, what he's doing.
Third in Division I in passing yards right now. Had over 600 2 weeks ago. He's third right now, 2,700 yards.
Whew. Love that story. Glad we could take a break from the trade deadline talk. When we come back, some big-time news at the receiver position, and maybe some more trades went down while we were learning that outstanding story. Back on the Rich Eisen Show in a moment.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. As you know, I love talking about Hyundai Hope on Wheels. Over 27 years. Did you know every Hyundai that's sold, if you bought a Hyundai, you are helping save lives? help fund life-saving pediatric cancer. Every Hyundai sold over the last 27 years, thanks to the 850 dealers nationwide, together raising more than $277 million, supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. It is awesome. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. At Hyundai, hope isn't optional. It comes standard. What a story with Drew Mestemaker, right?
That was great.
Okay. Before the season, Jacoby Myers wanted a new deal, didn't get one. And man, the last few weeks, as he's been sitting there in Vegas, and with each passing loss, it appeared that his days were going to be numbered, unless the Raiders wanted to hold on to him. He's such a crucial piece of building blocks. But while we were having a conversation about an hour one with Derrick Henry, this hit, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Do you have the, it's still,
here it comes.
Boom! And Maria, I see.
Breaking news.
Love the drop. What do you have over there, Christopher?
Yeah, guys, Jacoby Myers going from the Raiders to Jacksonville. The Jaguars acquire the wide receiver for a fourth and sixth round pick.
Okay. So first of all, if I'm Jacoby Myers, I'm thinking, well, couldn't get this trade done, so I got to hop the flight back to Jacksonville with Jacksonville after they beat us.
Right.
If we get this deal done faster, you know. But, he got to see the merchandise right in front of him, standing there waiting to get back on the field, watching Trevor Lawrence run it in a couple times and win in overtime. And he goes from being out of the playoffs, which the Raiders appear to be right now, flat out in the mix. The Jacksonville Jaguars are currently the seventh seed. And what this says to me is this is insurance in case Travis Hunter's not coming back after four games on the injured reserve. This sounds to me like it's more serious, and we need to supplement that position. And if Travis Hunter isn't hurt as seriously as we hope or fear, as much as we fear, then we'll get him. And go to work. I don't think they're trading Brian Thomas Jr., man.
Brian Thomas Jr. also appeared to suffer an ankle sprain at the end of that game. Didn't play in overtime. And rewatching the tape, it could be a high ankle situation.
Which might be another reason why we got to get ourselves a receiver right now. We are in the playoff hunt. We are in the playoff hunt. And we haven't played, if I'm not mistaken, the Indianapolis Colts yet.
Nope.
And,
or the Titans.
And the division can be had.
Yep.
And if BT is out right now and Travis Hunter's not coming back, and that's that. Got to go make that trade.
Yeah, Denami Brown had a concussion, and so Parker Washington came out of nowhere to have nine catches.
He had a really good game in London, too.
Yeah.
He's very talented. Yeah. And Liam Cohen's watching the receiver room go down and go down hard. So good on them. Fourth and the sixth. Let's go.
And I
don't know, man. I mean, the Raiders didn't want to. I don't know what the Steelers could use him. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be saying that over throughout this entire segment.
I think so.
Until we find out if the Steelers made a trade or not. Unless they just said, hey, we flipped a two for DK Metcalf. That's all the trade capital that we're willing to give up for receivers for Aaron Rodgers right now. And then there's another trade, as I mentioned.
Another trade.
At the receiver position. Go ahead and hit it, Mike. I love the drop.
Here it comes.
Boom! And Maria, I see.
Breaking news.
Okay, very good.
Rich, very curious to see where this team lands on your power rankings tomorrow. I kind of made the case that they could be the best team in the NFC on Overreaction Monday podcast. The Seahawks are acquiring Rashid Shaheed from the Saints for a fourth and fifth round pick in next year's draft.
All right. There you go.
More speed.
Well, I mean,
JSN.
As I mentioned yesterday, Jackson Smith and Jigba is on target, on track for a 2,000-yard receiving season.
He is, yeah.
Just a hair less than 1,000 yards through eight games. And Torrey Horton had two touchdowns. Cooper Kupp was out with an injury. I don't know how long he's going to be out. But adding Rashid Shaheed for Sam Darnold, go take the top of the defense off while Jackson Smith and Jigba runs underneath. I mean, Olave tweeted at his college teammate after he googly-eyed the news, you got a great one, bro. Buckeye and like a Buckeye chat room right there in front of everybody on X.
You think Olave was like, hey,
what about us?
Can somebody come get me?
I mean, he's going to be more expensive.
Yeah. For sure.
And again, I keep saying the Steelers should pay the freight. Phew. Pay the freight. The Colts, who just beat them at 7-2, two games in front of them, just said, we're going to get insanely aggressive. We're going to flip two ones to the Jets and Adonai Mitchell for Sauce Gardner. Here we go. And the Steelers sitting there at 5-3, just like the Jaguars. The Jaguars are like, we'll make a deal with the Raiders, but the Steelers, I don't know, got beat out or didn't want to give it, or they're not interested in the player. I don't know what the answer is. I think we have a straight out of Tomlin on the subject matter, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah.
Can't have enough of these segments because I just love listening to Mike Tomlin talk in a press conference. Hit it.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Our kicker is a serial killer.
Straight out of Tomlin.
You said last week you guys would be buyers at the trade deadline. You already bought one. And Kyle Duggar, do you anticipate shopping around a little bit more before 4 o'clock?
We'll see what happens. You know, I like shopping.
Straight out of Tomlin.
They did get Kyle Duggar. How about the Patriots now sellers of people that there aren't starting? We're 7-2, and we're suddenly selling off. Because guys who used to be the starters around here aren't playing right now, and yeah. Vrabel's taking stock in the same way Aaron Glenn took stock. Oh, we can get two ones for Sauce. Oh, I'm glad we signed him for 4 years, $120 million. Send him to Indianapolis.
Yeah, and according to Rich Cimini, who covers the Jets for ESPN, Sauce, quote, stunned by the trade. No inkling he was going to get traded.
I'd love to know how it started. Was he being shopped, or did the Colts just...
Schefter was with Pat and said that two teams have been talking for weeks about this.
I'm telling you, man, I got the sense in London that not everything was all hunky-dory behind the scenes there. That's the sense I got in London. And as I mentioned, Aaron Glenn had to take a look. When you're owing whatever, and this was before Woody Johnson was talking about Justin Fields so publicly in a manner in which you're not used to hearing ownership talk about it. He had to take stock. Who wants to be in this boat and who does not? Because the ship is sailing.
Yeah, Connor Hughes covers the Jets for SNY. He is reporting the teams are calling the Jets about Jermaine Johnson right now. Offers include a second round pick.
Well, I mean, that, I don't know. He's really good.
Mm-hmm.
He's good. If I'm not mistaken, he was the third first rounder taken with Sauce and Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, it was part of that big group.
So, I don't know. I mean, these are decisions you got to make at some point, you know, if you're going to extend or not. But that guy can rush the passer. Listen, at the end of the day, Jacksonville needed a receiver. They're 5-3. They flipped a couple of day three picks. And the... Seahawks are sitting there at the top of their division and threatening at the top of the conference. And they're like, okay, we've got a guy threatening the 2,000-yard barrier, but more is not less.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.